Welcome back to another episode of Seeing Your Inner Brilliance, the podcast dedicated specifically for big dreamers and high achievers to help us normalize our big, audacious dreams, goals, and desires, as well as normalize the inner struggles, portals, and obstacles that are bound to come up along the way. I'm your host, self-worth and confidence coach, Charles E. Childers, and I am so glad you're here today. We've seen the Pinterest quotes, and we've also seen the hashtag called Trust the Process. But what exactly does that look like? And is there another layer to it? Do we just continue trusting and trusting and trusting? Besides, why is this so important anyways to trust the process? And how does it benefit us? I mean, come on. And do we ever get done with trusting the process? Or is this something that we have to continuously anchor into and deepen into and hang on to no matter what stage we're in? Well, those are some of the questions that I hope you will walk away with knowing the answers to after listening to this episode. And this episode is really, really cool in the sense that my guest today, he leans into this absolutely insane experience he had a few years ago and his calling, which is yoga and pain-free living. And I lean into my calling and my zone of genius, if you will, which is cognitive and emotional psychology, as well as energetics. And we aim to really paint this beautiful picture for you of what trusting the process actually looks like. And then also from time to time, you'll also hear me jump in and go a little bit deeper in this to really help you drive home with it so that at the end of this, you do have those answers to the questions and hopefully walking away from our time together, having a little bit more faith in the journey you're on and having faith that it's going to lead you to where you want to go, even if you can't see all the steps or the immediate results to get there. Because as big dreamers and high achievers, when we get to the point where we can trust the process and really lean into this, there are so many benefits of it. The first benefit has to do with adjusting to challenges, that when we trust the process, we can also trust that obstacles and setbacks are part of the process as well. And so there's this element of acceptance and non-judgment of ourselves for encountering the obstacles, because when we encounter obstacles, we can see them as opportunities. Maybe it's opportunities to learn, grow, evolve, or expand in some way. And the second major benefit to trusting the process for the sake of this conversation is focusing on our efforts and our progress. Rather than solely focusing on the end goal, trusting the process redirects our attention to our effort and progress that we are making. There is, again, an element of acceptance, peace, and contentment. There is so much satisfaction to be found here. And this recognition of incremental achievements, it boosts our sense of accomplishment. So almost we're double-diving the sense of satisfaction. So we're not dependent solely on the end result for validation. We derive fulfillment and satisfaction from the journey itself. My guest today is none other than the Yogi Aaron. He is one of the most sought after teachers in the yoga space. He's completely trailblazing a new path in the world of yoga with everything he is doing. He's known for his unorthodox perspectives on stretching and flexibility and how both cause more harm than good. His teachings aim to help as many people as possible live a pain-free life so they can realize yoga's true intentions. Aaron is the creator of the revolutionary approach to yoga, the applied yoga anatomy and muscle activation. He's the host of a podcast called Stop Stretching. He's an author and just created a course. He's the co-owner of Blue Asa Yoga Retreat and Spa in Costa Rica. You can't tell, Yogi Aaron is all about yoga. So if you are a yogi like myself, you're definitely going to want to listen to him speak about yoga and then maybe even connect with him after that. But like I said in the beginning, in this conversation, Aaron leads into his calling and his world, which is yoga, the body, living pain-free. And I lean into my world and my passion of cognitive and emotional psychology and energetics. And we really just come together and paint this beautiful picture of what it looks like to really trust the process. So without further ado, put in your AirPods, take this time to yourself, really lean into this conversation. It is literally one of, if not the best best thing you will do for yourself all day. Erin, I am so excited to be talking with you. My goodness, your spirit, your light. I'm getting tears in my eyes. Like, your spirit, your light, just everything you are doing in this world as far as bringing us into awareness on what stretching actually does for us and encouraging people and empowering, equipping them to live this pain-free life through mastering their body and through yoga. You are just so amazing. You're doing amazing things, and it's such an honor to have you on Seeing Your Inner Brilliance. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. And can I call you every day to hear that affirmation? That's fabulous.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That. My husband has said before that being married to me is like being married to Richard Simmons. So
I love it.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. And one of the things you're also so passionate about is focusing on the process, falling in love with the process, embracing the process, trusting the process. And in my world, that process can look like falling in love with the journey on the way to achieving your goal. And in your, from your perspective, that looks like falling in love with where you are in terms of your yoga and what you're doing for your body, rather than being in this chiseled place of perfection of mastering a yoga position.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the process, for me, a big part of my process has also been my own internal process. And I've always felt very strongly that if I'm going to be a good teacher, I have to be a really good student, an even better student. And so I've kind of thrown myself into the fire of these practices, for better or worse, and have been burned a lot. But it opens me up more to the being empathetic and understanding to my own students and being compassionate. And I think those are all important qualities of a teacher.
So beautifully said. Like, hallelujah and amen to that, of us being the best student of our own work. So not only teaching it, but receiving it. So I'm curious, from your internal standpoint, what does that look like for you? Was there a time when you loathed the process and you were just, get me to the goal, get me to the outcome, get me to the destination? Or what, how has that come up for you in your life?
It's a loaded question. I think first of all, it's my belief that a lot of people do, you know, especially we see this in the yoga world. So I'll stay in my lane because that's where I'm driving. In the yoga world, I see a lot of people getting a little taste of success in terms of their practice. And maybe they become a little bit more flexible. Maybe they, you know, lose some weight. Maybe they start to feel a little happier. And all of a sudden, they get a little bit of knowledge, and then they think they know everything. And we see this as an epidemic in the yoga world specifically. But I would say anything kind of spiritual, we even see this in the coaching business. You know, how many people are coaching that have never actually tasted success, but coaching others to be successful? And so in the yoga world, we see a lot of people that are, you know, taking people on this spiritual journey that have never been on one. And when I started yoga, I would say that I was in that category. I got a little bit of knowledge, and then I thought I knew everything. I was such an arrogant ass. I was in my 20s. Oh my God. So, but I also understood fundamentally, I understood I didn't know it that much. I mean, I craved that. I crave knowledge. I have an insatiable amount of curiosity that to this day, you know, curiosity killed the cat. I mean, thank God I have more than 9 lives. I think I have just had that curiosity. And as I've read, one of my favorite books is written by my teacher called Living with the Himalayan Masters. It was written by Swami Rama. It's one of the very few books that I've ever seen that has taken its readers on a journey literally into the Himalayas, into the secret caves of these masters. And we kind of, hear about fictional stories of these masters, like 7 years in Tibet or something like that. But we've never really entered into the cave and kind of got that, firsthand account of what it's like to meet these people. And that even drove my curiosity to different levels, where I literally did go into the Himalayas. And I wouldn't say I studied with these masters, because it was usually on just different pilgrimages, but I met a lot of these masters along the way, and sometimes would spend time with them in different capacities. And one of those trips, I ended up in the Himalayas, and I was actually taking a group to this place that I had been to several times before, called Tapovan, which is near Gangotri. It's about 26 kilometers. I don't know what that is in miles, sorry.
I don't
26
either, so that
kilometers.
makes two of us.
It's far, probably about 18 miles. And it was up in this place. So it's 26 kilometers away from cars, away from help, away from vehicles. So we're up there with a, and coming down, when we're coming down the mountain, a big boulder about twice the size of a bowling ball came tumbling down the mountain and hit my leg. And from a Hindu perspective, Lord Shiva sits on top of this mountain in the form of the mountain. And I kind of always joke that Shiva threw a big ball, a big rock at me to teach me about my karma. You will no longer be an arrogant asshole. I'm going to throw a rock at you, and we're going to break that ego apart, literally.
I'm gonna knock out the legs from under your arrogant table.
Well, Lord Shiva is the god of transformation, and he wanted me to transform. But that experience, I was just talking earlier about being that compassionate teacher. I can tell you that ever since that, I was 35 at the time, 35 or 37, 35. And that moment really softened me in a way that nothing, of course, ever has. Because going through that experience made me understand everybody has a journey, and just because they don't act a certain way, just because they aren't a certain way, just because they aren't of a certain physicality, understand their story, because I was literally knocked down and broken. So if that could happen to me, it could happen to anybody. And going through personal lessons is such an important part, really seeking to understand a person's journey. Before we, judge them, if we must judge them, which we inevitably will, listening to people's stories is so important. And having walked through that story, really made me a better teacher. And it also changed the way that I taught yoga after that. It was no longer about the workout. It was more about the healing and the journey, as you said, rather than trying to get to a destination. It was like, okay, let's come back to basics. And coming back to basics has been a big part of my story since then.
Wow, what a beautiful, crazy, wild, all of it story. So thank you. We ventured on so many emotional waves through that one. So thank you for sharing it. And I feel compelled to highlight that, you were highlighting the fact that you tasted a little bit of knowledge and you were an arrogant asshole, for lack of better words. And then on the flip side, I have seen where we have a whole lot of knowledge, or we are perceived to be the expert, the master, the go-to person in certain areas, and that can also block us from truly embracing the journey, because for some reason we convince ourselves that going back to the basics, enjoying the journey, those types of things are beneath us, and that we don't have the ability. We've become this wonderful master. We don't have the ability. There's no reason to soak up the goodness along the way. So for some reason, I just felt compelled to highlight that. So perhaps that resonates with somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So from your perspective, once you had literally this pivotal rock solid moment of paying attention and just approaching your teachings from a different aspect, what did that look like? Of course, in your lane of teaching yoga in the sense of embracing the healing, embracing the journey from speaking to my own yoga experience, becoming a beginner, so to speak, to intermediate to more advanced, and really just enjoying and loving all three elements of that journey rather than putting one on a pedestal and one not on a pedestal.
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, that experience, I mean, being hit by a boulder in the Himalayas, help. And then even then, it was still a 3-day journey to get to the hospital. So that's a whole other story. So having that experience and being, I don't want to say close to death, but I mean, there was a moment when we thought that we would be stuck in the mountain because help wasn't coming. Help didn't come until much later in the day. The accident with the rock was early in the morning, and so it was kind of like stuck up there for many, 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 many hours. And when I was finally being brought back, I was being carried like in the pitch black because it was a new moon night. So there was no moon, it was clouded over, there was no stars. So we were walking back in this Himalayan trail, I was like thinking they're going to drop me, I'm going to fall down the mountain and end up in the river. And so there was a moment when I thought this is it. And a couple of things happened. One though was, and it kind of happened simultaneously, but I was very aware that death was knocking at the door, and that could have happened in many different ways. I mean, I was in severe shock. So let's start there, and then the elements of coming into hypothermia and whatnot and being stuck there, infection, I could go down the list. So it's very, having that knowledge that death was right there, and then also simultaneously having the knowledge of I can get through this, and how am I going to choose to live my life moving forwards? And that's a powerful moment. And so I was very aware of that a second chance was being given to me, and how am I going to use that chance? And so I can, so there's a simultaneous, like, am I content with what the way I've lived my life, and how am I choosing to live my life, moving forwards? And so that really reshaped my perspective a lot. And so I tried to, really live more and more in the moment. And I know that sounds so cliche, but it's like, how am I choosing to live each moment? Am I just going to live it stressed? Am I going to live it in an angry way? And it's been a progression. I mean, it's nothing I've definitely perfected, but having that simultaneous knowledge is important. And so when we look to the yoga scriptures, and we see what Patanjali was trying to teach us, it was like, let's live in the moment, because if we're pining about what's happened in the past, then we're always in the future. And so that has been that embracing, if you will, of the moment. And that, of course, has completely reshaped the way I teach yoga. I think I've gotten more philosophical. And how does doing triangle pose lead us to, manifesting and living our life purpose? And that's a link that a lot of yoga teachers never are able to make for whatever reason. But so that's one part of it. But the other part of it that's kind of reshaped it too is like so many people approach yoga. I remember this one woman, her name is Mary. Mary. And she's maybe 59, 58, something like that, maybe 60, I don't remember, somewhere in that age range. And she came to my training, my teacher training immersion, to, because she was retiring, she wanted to have a different experience, it was on her bucket list, et cetera, et cetera. And she said, I just want to be able to touch my toes. And I thought, oh, Mary, like that was her big goal. God bless you. And so anyways, I did get her to touch her toes, but not through stretching. Through muscle activation. And she was blown away because I did it within about 5 minutes, and I didn't have to push her. I didn't have to manipulate her. She did it all on her own. And but that's the goal for a lot of people. And really the ultimate goal of yoga is how do I manifest and live my life purpose? But a lot of people can't do that. Like they have an idea, they have the passion, but their body is stopping them because they're in pain. And so that experience also gave me the wisdom, the idea that, yeah, this is a practice that also should help to make me stronger. I need to be stronger and more sound in body so that I have a body, aka a vehicle, to experience and live life more fully. So that's also what I'm very passionate about, is helping people to become stronger, more stable in the body so that they can, live their best life.
Oh my goodness, you are so interesting and so fascinating to listen to. Oh my goodness. And what I really hear after everything that you just so beautifully said, I really hear two things. So correct me if I'm wrong, but the first thing is that through this boulder experience, you really learn to soak up the moment for the amazingness and the joy for what is and as it is, rather than viewing each moment as a place to have to get to. I need to get to this certain goal. I need to get to this certain milestone in my yoga practice, that sort of thing. And then the second thing I hear from your story of Mary is, from your perspective, this trusting the process and falling in love with the process, it has a lot to do with desire. And Mary had a desire to touch her toes. And so leaning into those desires rather than denying yourself of them. Does that kind of summarize it a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. We're using this practice to bring us into the moment, to find that richness of the moment, and so that we can appreciate the moment. Doesn't mean that we necessarily have to, I guess, enjoy it, but the words of my teacher gave me one of the best mantras I've ever had. And it's basically, if you're going to be a mess, be a happy mess. And so that's what got me through that moment. It's like, well, how am I choosing to react to this moment? And when we can see that, when we can be ha a happy mess, we ultimately are seeing the totality of life, and we're able to chuckle at it because it is really funny. God has an incredible sense of humor.
I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. I'm so loving this conversation. And I absolutely love how we can take a topic such as trust the process, which so many of us, we hear on Pinterest, from everybody, like, trust the process, trust the process. But we can look at it through a different angle, such as yoga, to drive this home deeper. So this is such an expansive conversation. This is so good.
I mean, you might also add a word there, like, instead of even trust, like embrace the process. Embrace, because the process is your life. And if you don't embrace it, then you might as well just take a sleeping pill and sleep. It's like, because we embrace it, it's like that was my life at that moment, being in the mountain with my leg broken and having to go through the journey.
Oh my goodness. I am so thankful that Aaron mentioned this idea of not just trusting the process, but embracing the process, because there is actually something really big here. So let's break it down together. Embracing the process versus simply trusting it involves a deeper level of engagement and a mindset shift. While both concepts are related to allowing things to unfold naturally and with patience, they have distinct nuances. So, for example, trusting the process is about having faith that the journey you're on will lead you to the desired outcome, your goal, your dream, just like I was talking about in the beginning, even if you can't see all the steps or immediate results. And I would say, especially when you can't see all the steps, it's a belief and confidence in your overall path that you've chosen for yourself. Trusting the process can involve like setting goals, creating a plan, and then having confidence that if you follow the plan, you'll eventually reach your destination. It's a form of relinquishing control over the finer details while maintaining the faith in the end result. When I think about trusting the process, what I hear is a whole lot of acceptance, a whole lot of acknowledgement, a whole lot of surrender. It's a whole lot of actual trust and hope and faith. Whereas embracing the process, I view it as a little bit more of an active standpoint, meaning that embracing the process goes beyond trust because it's about fully immersing yourself in each and every step of the journey. Embracing the process is literally like loving the graphic that you're creating, loving the meeting that you're going to, loving the presentation that you're presenting, and being all in, really seeing that moment, each and every moment, as enough because you know that inevitably you trust that it's going to fall into the bigger plan. But for now, you can embrace it in this moment, love this moment, and be so excited about this moment. Do you feel the difference? So when you're embracing the process, it's about finding value and learning in each and every moment and deriving satisfaction from the entire experience, regardless of the outcome. So you're finding value in, like I said, the graphic, the meeting, the presentation, the phone conversation, the particular deal that you're focusing on, the particular podcast episode that you're publishing for that week. Like you're embracing that this is it, and you're putting 100% into it from this place of desire and absolutely loving it. It's being focused on what is currently being present in your experience and being fully engaged in every single action you take. And so when we can embrace the process, this really leads us to a deeper sense of fulfillment because we're not solely fixated on the end goal, but we're also appreciating the growth, the learning, the expansion, the evolution, and the development that occurs along the way. I'm not saying that trusting the process is better than embracing the process or embracing the process is better than trusting the process. No, what I really wanted to dive into here is that both elements are so vital for us big dreamers and high achievers because they both have major benefits. So for example, as I was talking about in the beginning, that trusting the process, it really helps us to adapt to challenges and trust that even obstacles and hard times are part of the process. Trusting the process allows us to be flexible and open-minded. It helps us cultivate this inner objectivity. We get to focus on the bigger picture. We get to avoid placing unrealistic pressure and unrealistic expectations on ourselves to achieve success. We get to have confidence in our efforts that we're putting in. You know, there's faith and there's confidence in our plan and where we are going. And then with embracing the process, it really helps us to maintain a higher level of motivation for the long term. So it's where sustainable motivation more likely comes from. It helps us reduce burnout. When we embrace the process, we really lean into a growth mindset and this idea of continuous learning. We focus on the betterment of things. It helps us cultivate inner resiliency, as well as helps us with fulfillment and satisfaction, and we can mitigate fear of failure. And so really the two go hand in hand. And it is so, so important for us to not only trust the process, but also embrace the process. Trust it over the long term. You can feel the contentment and the peace and the inner knowingness that ensues from that. And embracing the process, for me, this has really looked like allowing me to go all in on each and every podcast episode, for example, each and every client, each and every social media post. I remember the other night when I was creating a reel, I was having so much fun creating that reel. It was just fun to put, you know, my brand colors on there and the text, and I was dancing in the reel and I was just having so much fun. This is it. So I thought that was a really valuable add to this conversation. Since Aaron and I went there as far as embracing the process, I wanted to differentiate the two for you. And I really hope that you lean into this. You know, maybe as you go throughout your day, look in the places where you are trusting the process, and then look in the places where you're embracing the process, or where you could embrace the process more, or where you could trust the process more. Really lean into that.
There was no other place to be. I can check out in my mind, which a lot of people do check out in different ways, to skip the process. But yoga is the complete opposite. It is embracing the process, because if you don't embrace it, then you're checking out and you're missing out on your life. And, you know, TikTok, there's only so many minutes that we have in each, you know, in our lifetime.
Such a beautiful word choice. Thank you for using that word. And as you were talking, a story came to my mind, a visual of Abraham and Esther Hicks. They mentioned this, how one time Esther and her husband were taking a boat. They walked the boat on one end of the lake, and the goal was to get back to the other end of the lake. And yes, they could have just not taken the boat to the other end. They could have just driven their car to the end. They could have done all of these things to focus on the end, right? But no, they carried the boat to the other end of the lake. They put it in the water just so, I have chills right now, just so they could enjoy and embrace the process of seeing the beauty of the lake on the way to their destination. And that's really what I feel like you're saying here, which is, oh, so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm curious, you mentioned how doing triangle pose can help someone actually help them figure out, for lack of better words, of how to, it can show them and reveal to them how they can manifest their life. So what are some other examples from your perspective of when we are doing the process, when we are in midst of the process of refining the pose or doing our yoga session? What are some other beautiful nuggets that we can take away from that?
Well, it's all a journey, and such a personal journey. We either just do the pose for the sake of doing the pose. And I would say a lot of people are being taught just that. They're just being taught to do the pose and, you know, get the hand to the floor, get the hand to the shin mount, whatever. A lot of teachers are skipping that journey of what is going on. And so what you do see some teachers doing, and what I completely embrace, is more what we refer to as a tantric method of methodology. And tantra just kind of says one thing. It says, you know, how do I bring more of myself to the table? So in the tantric tradition, there's a lot of rituals and, you know, bringing more of ourselves to the table. Like there's tantric rituals and how to set a table, how to prepare a meal, you know? And so as you're doing certain things, maybe you're saying a prayer, as you're putting things in a specific way, there's a mindfulness in how I'm supposed to do it. We see this, you know, play out a lot in Japanese tradition and in a lot of the different Asian traditions. There's very specific intention in brought into how I do something. And so when we're doing poses, it's no longer, you know, about, okay, let me get my hand to the ground or whatever it is. It's more, how am I completely embodying this moment? And so maybe it is embodying that moment through saying an affirmation, through saying a prayer, through bringing your attention, for example, to your heart center and imagining the divine sitting in the chamber of your heart. And maybe it's about mission of expansion, and how do I body expansion in this pose? And also bringing in breath, and how am I breathing in the pose? Inhalation, am I focusing more on exhalation? Am I bringing a sense of balance to both? So it starts to expand the capacity and in of how we embody this pose. And one of the questions, you know, a lot of people do yoga to feel calm within themselves, to mean to you hear this expression a lot, get out of their head. And so when they get out of their head, whatever that means, they feel better about themselves. They feel they've accomplished yoga. And one of the things you'll hear is like, well, I need to do a 90-minute practice in order for me to achieve that state of yoga. And so, typically a 90-minute practice would include 60, 70, 80 postures, 30 or 40 chaturanga. And chaturanga for your listeners is like half push-up, so holding half push-up, and doing that several times. And I kind of chuckle at this because if that's what you need to do to achieve a state of yoga, you're not doing it correctly at all. And so one of the questions I ask my yoga teacher trainees is, how many yoga poses do you think it takes to achieve a state of yoga? And by the end of the training, they arrive at the answer. And the answer is one pose. It should only take one pose. And and on that list should never be Chaturanga Dandasana. Because once we do one pose, if we're doing it correctly, we've achieved everything that we set out to do in yoga, which is, bringing our attention inward into that inner kingdom and allowing our consciousness to rest with the divine that eternally is resting in the chamber of our heart.
Woo! Oh my goodness. I don't know if you saw Aaron, but when you were talking, I started tearing up because the essence behind my calling and what I'm here to do, a large part of what I'm here to do in this world, is to support big dreamers and high achievers and bringing the fullness of who they are into their calling. And so when you tapped on the essence behind yoga and the process is bringing the more of you, the all of you, the deeper parts of you, your breath, the mind, body, spirit connection, all of these beautiful components of it. Woo! Woo! Like I could do this pray hands, pray dance when you go to church. Like, yes. Oh my goodness, that is so beautiful, so beautiful. And wow, just thank you so much for highlighting that. And really, you did such a beautiful job of breaking that down. And even in what you just said, of when we go into it thinking that we need to do it in order to get somewhere, that right there, because then we hold ourselves to the self-imposed pressure of, I need to do yoga or whatever it is. I need to post every day. I need to do these things in order to be this certain way, in order to feel this certain way. When really, like you said, it takes one pose. It takes one. I'm trying to think about it from my world and like my client's perspective. I don't know. I'm going to say it's like one. It's a feeling. It's like one tapping into that feeling of satisfaction, that feeling of wholeness. It doesn't take
Feeling
all
of
of these
wholeness.
things to get there.
Yeah.
So, oh, that was so good. And how you broke that down. Hey guys, I am in the middle of editing this episode right now, and I just absolutely hope that you're enjoying this conversation I have with Aaron. I had to jump in here real quick and talk to you about satisfaction because I feel like this is one of the most underutilized tools and assets within ourselves. Like people don't realize the power of satisfaction. And to be honest with you, I didn't either. I didn't either. At the same time, I also know very much of where I was, of let's say I was. We can look at the big things. I was going to college, okay, completed college. Then I went immediately into grad school, finished my master's, okay, then got married. Then, I was just checking things off. I don't know if you can relate to that. And we can apply this to the big things in our life as well as the small things that we're just going, we're just going, we're just doing. That's a lot of that's what we have in common, right? We are ambitious go-getters. We have this innate drive within us that is almost like a propeller and it fuels us to just do and do and do and do and do. And for some reason, I thought that's where the fullness of life was, to be honest with you. I thought that, okay, I'm doing it. Maybe when I complete my doctorate, which I never did, maybe one day when I reach this SVP position, which I never did, I never got that far in my corporate career. Once I have two kids, which I did do, but once I have two kids, then I'm going to feel a certain way. And it was almost like I was just doing things and unintentionally prolonging this goodness and this feeling, this magic of life, when now from the standpoint that I'm in looking back, I was completely depriving myself of life here. I was thinking that I was absolutely crushing life because I was checking off all of these check marks. I was meeting people's expectations and what they thought of me. I was accomplishing. Even I was getting awarded. You know, I was doing all of these things. But yet, looking back, I can confidently say that I was not soaking as much fruit out of it as I could. That's why I felt compelled to jump in here and just talk about satisfaction, because from my current standpoint and just how I've been living the past several years is that if we're not feeling multiple doses of satisfaction within an hour, even much less a day, if we aren't constantly feeling the satisfaction or this peace, this rush, this joy, this lightness, this ease. And I use those words because I know it can feel differently to different people. And so, but if you're not feeling that throughout the day, there is joy that's left on the table. There is a fullness and magic to life that is being left on the table. And this is, I think, one of those things where it's very easy to see in hindsight. However, why do we have to wait to live and to know things from a perspective of looking back? Why not go forward? I really wish somebody had told me, like, hey, if you're not absolutely loving your day, if you're not just feeling lit up by the smallest things. I was just sitting outside a few minutes ago and I saw this worm. It was a thick worm and it was, you know, doing its worm movements across my porch, and I looked at it and I just felt like so much satisfaction in that. I don't know, because I guess in the pausing of watching a worm and just after a few seconds, like seeing how far it made it across my front porch, there was something so satisfying. And I started cracking up at myself because here I was watching this worm, and that worm, goodness, poor thing, that looks so exhausting to me. And so these types of feelings, that's what I'm feeling. If you are not having those experiences throughout the day, then there is so much being left on the table. And for me, the answer and the solution was learning how to tap into that satisfaction, tapping into the wholeness and the enoughness of each and every moment and embracing the process in the process rather than thinking, oh, just get to your next checkbox and then you'll feel a certain way. Just do this and then you'll feel a certain way. Once you get to retirement, once you leave corporate, then the world will open up and you will feel all the magic. If you can resonate with that at all, then I want to invite you to check out BTG. I mentioned it earlier in the episode. BTG is really that energy of learning this art of how to feel satisfied and fulfilled right now in this very moment. What are the core beliefs to anchor into? What are the high and aligned standards for you to anchor into? How do you operate from this in order to feel satisfied, right? Because we are constantly bombarded with things like doubt and questioning, and we do get excited about getting to our goal or accomplishing the yoga pose, as Aaron was talking about. We get excited about seeing the end. But what if we can be as excited right now? So I definitely invite you to check out BTG. BTG is a powerful 6-week journey of learning the art of being satisfied, fulfilled, and full of joy now, rather than postponing it until you achieve a certain external result or a certain outcome. It's about feeling validated, successful, confident, worthy, important, significant, significant and or impactful right now, independent of your financial success, independent of your number of likes or followers, your rank in your company, your accomplishments, your accolades compared to someone else's, etc. BTG is all about feeling good now. It's about feeling confident in yourself and what you're doing now, feeling worthy and successful now, showing up regardless and making moves regardless, being bold regardless, creating content or speaking regardless. That's where this feeling of satisfaction comes from, is when we can show up, we can move, we can create, we can do what we want to do. And what is happening around us? Who supports us? Whether we can reach our toes, so to say, or whether we've reached our goal, that we're satisfied and that we're happy with the way things are. That is what BTG is all about. That's why I created it, because it has made such a difference in my life to approach my dream, and not even approach my dream, because that sounds like a mental construct, right? But to really just show up for my dream, for my people, for my desires, from this place of being satisfied as much as possible all throughout the day without prolonging it or without delaying it. So if that speaks to you, I definitely invite you to check out BTG. The link is in the episode description. As far as program structure and support goes, you get 6 intentional masterclasses that are held live. You get 6 Q&A days in Voxer to support you in adopting and integrating the material and community with like-minded and high achievers who are also on their journey of feeling satisfied, fulfilled, and successful right now. So if you're ready to be the most satisfied and fulfilled version of you, then I invite you to click that link in the episode description. But regardless, I want you to know that feeling satisfied all throughout the day, feeling satisfied all throughout any given moment and in any hour, it is so possible. It is so possible. And not only that, but it is such a delicious way to live, a way to show up in your life. And I really invite you to lean into that and anchor to that, hold on to that intention of feeling more and more and more satisfaction. Because when we can do that, no matter what stage we're in, no matter what is going on around us, you truly become unstoppable. You're magnetic. You are lit up, and it is such a way to show up for your life. So, all right, I just felt called and compelled to insert that in there. Now, continuing on with my amazing conversation with Aaron. Oh my goodness. So I would love to, like I said in the beginning, I absolutely love what you're doing in this world. And as amongst the listeners and the other guests, we are amazing people doing amazing things. And you are the epitome of that. So I would love to spend a moment highlighting and celebrating what you're doing. I know you have a brand new course of allowing people to live a pain-free life. So if you will, talk to us a little bit about that.
Sure. One of my biggest passions right now is kind of twofold. It's teaching people about their body, about basic biomechanics, and then showing them how to improve their biomechanics. And you think, oh my God, biomechanics, like, I don't care about my biomechanics. But when we start to understand some of the simple movements of the body, we understand why we're in pain sometimes. Like, you know, when somebody bends over to pick up their drop keys, or as a mother to bend over and pick up your child, and you feel your back kind of like pulling on you and you have pain in your back. And then we start to compensate, and we end up with, you know, a lot of problems. And so I'm very passionate about showing people how to live more pain-free. And as I was saying a little bit earlier, that when we're in pain, we become debilitated, both mentally and physically and spiritually and emotionally, because all of our energy then is about the pain. All of our energy goes into how do we avoid the pain? How do we get rid of the pain? And depending on, you know, the degree of pain and the level of it, then a lot of our life force energy is geared to that. So I want to get people away from that. Let's put our energy into living our best life. And so I know from personal experience that when I'm in pain, all my resources go to dealing with that. But when I'm not, I'm much happier. So I've been we're on this path for a few years, and we just are putting the final touches. It's going to be three levels. We finished levels one and two, which we're going to be launching very soon for people who get on it and sign up to get on the wait list to find out about it. They get the free mini course. So the mini course is live right now. It's just a little taste of what's to come and to give people a taste of a yama. And so they can really start to experience what happens when we get the body working better, when we get the muscular system doing its job better, that they start to feel stronger, more stable, more resilient. And most importantly, because of that, they start to feel pain-free. Even doing like simple things. But having said that, the biggest theme of what I teach is to stop stretching. So even if we can just get people to stop stretching and start activating and flip the script at an earlier age, when we're stronger and healthier, we're going to prevent so many problems in the future.
You are such a blessing.
Thank
And I just want to
you.
say, you are the epitome of walking in your calling, from showing up on social media, writing a book, owning a retreat center, helping your friend, starting a course. And that's something I have chills and tears in my eyes all at the same time. A lot going on right now. What's coming to me is that when we trust, no, when we embrace the process and we can really lean into, as I put it, falling madly in love with the process and the journey, then we truly allow ourselves, we allow our calling to come through ourselves in every single facet of our life. And that's when we gain so much momentum. That is when we truly see that we are backed by the universe, that God is on our side, and we are truly this force moving through and bringing about what we are here to do in this world. That's how we create impact. That's how we create legacy. That's how we help people. And yes, we have success along the way, but it's in the allowing by embracing the process and bringing the fullness of who we are to each and everything that we do. That's where it's at. So thank you for being the model. Thank you for being the epitome of doing that. You were such an inspiration on so many levels.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. It's
Absolutely.
beautiful to conspire with other bearers of light and people who are here passionately to just be a light and show others a pathway to becoming the best version of themselves. So thank you for doing your work too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I see your inner brilliance, Aaron. So thank you. Thank you for that. And thank you for being on the show. This conversation has been so potent and so powerful. And thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you are taking away so many golden nuggets on trusting the process and embracing the process. And I know this can be so hard. That's why I wanted to spend about an hour with you talking about this and unpacking this. Of course, it doesn't stop here, though. I am here available to you as a resource to empower, encourage, and equip you to really lean into this and deepen into it because it is a process. It is a journey, and the deeper we dive down into it, the more fulfillment, satisfaction, joy, adapting to challenges that we resurrect and that we feel. And those feelings, it's just that is truly the way to live. So I invite you again to check out BTG in the episode description. And in addition to that, always feel free to reach out to me on Instagram. I am here for you. You are so supported. I see your inner brilliance. I see your light. I see your trying. I see your effort. I see your energy. I see you showing up. I acknowledge you. I love you. And I celebrate you. I'll see you next time. Thank you.